Suvas Perik Hey Mishnah Vav 5-6. The Mishnah now goes on to talk about the obligation of ona'a that a husband has to his wife. The Torah requires that a husband provide both for his wife's physical needs, meaning she'er and ksus, things like food, clothing, medical attention, and so on, and also for her emotional needs, and that's referred to here in onasa. The word ona means like a season, like a, something that's a periodic that repeats frequently from time to time, and it really has two connotations. One is this idea of something that repeats from time to time, and there's a certain frequency, and that will really be a point of departure in terms of the drushes of the Chazal in our Mishnah. It also means simply like more in the conventional sense, time, that a wife has an expectation of a certain amount of time, meaning attention from her husband. Now, the legal criterion for fulfillment of ona is marital intimacy, but intimacy here means intimate time together, and besides for any specific act. Nevertheless, there's the specific act is required as well. So a wife has a demand, and really even like a shibud on her husband, on his person, and that he has to give her time and physical attention. And that being the case, the Mishnah will set out the parameters of that. The first part of the Mishnah wants to discuss the question of if a man would actually forswear, take a neder that forbids him to be physically intimate with her, so then for how long a time could a man take such a neder, an oath, and that not be a grounds for divorce, meaning that the woman could demand that now she's not getting what are her marital rights, and therefore he's required to divorce her and pay her ksuba. So there's a machlokas tanaim that Mishnah reads, Hamadir es ishto matash mishamita. If a man forbids on himself any benefit, physical benefit from his wife, sleeping with her, so then how long would it be for such, at what duration would that be grounds for divorce? The Mishnah actually doesn't mention out what we're talking about explicitly here in terms of the divorce. It just simply says how much time. So Beis Shammai omrim shtei shabasos, Beis Shammai say up to 2 weeks, meaning if the neder were for more than 2 weeks, so he only has 2 weeks in which to figure out how to be matzer that neder, to release himself from that vow. And if he can't, then after 2 weeks it'd be grounds for divorce. And Beis Hillel omrim Shabbos achas, just 1 week. Now, according to the basis for Beis Shammai is that there is a time in the Torah when a husband and wife can't be physically intimate, and that is for the 2 weeks after she bears a daughter. If she bears a girl, so there's 2 weeks where she's a yoledes, she's tamea, and he has to keep his distance from her. So Beis Shammai say, you see the Torah says up to 2 weeks is in the consideration of what could be considered normal, more than that not, and therefore he has up to 2 weeks to resolve this, and more than 2 weeks would be grounds for divorce. Beis Hillel learned that, well, of course that's true, that's a rather infrequent event that a woman has a girl, that's like a sort of a one-off every few years perhaps, and that being the case, he looks at the more generic time frame with the Torah sets, which is up to 1 week, and that's because a woman is in Nida midoraisa for 1 week from the beginning of her cycle, when she first starts bleeding. Even in the time of the Tanaim, and Hillel's time, of course, already, the women were waiting Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days, so that would actually extend the period that they were apart for more than 7 days, so let's call it 12 days. But notwithstanding that, the point is the Torah's prescription is just 7 days, and therefore Hillel says that would be the maximum. Allah, of course, like Beis Hillel, to extend this is Lamaisa. Now, that notwithstanding, says the Mishnah, Hatalmidim yotzin l'talmud Torah shlo b'shus shloshim yom. Even though there's an obligation that a husband has to be available to his wife at least, let's call it once a week now, says the Mishnah here, if a man wants to go out of town to study out of town, to become a Torah scholar, to study to be a Talmud, so then he's allowed to do so, even though, of course, it means he won't be available for his wife, since ultimately that's a person's purpose in this world. We're not going to say that he can't do that, and therefore the Torah, Chazal, wouldn't say he wouldn't do, can't do that, and therefore he's allowed to go, it says the Mishnah, even for 30 days without getting her permission. The truth is that's Rabbi Elazar Shita, as the Mishnah will end up saying. The Gemara says the Chacham disagree with him and actually say there isn't really a time limit on this. A husband could go for a year if that's what it would require, or two, etc. That would be within his rights. But in general, that's sort of the exception. The rule is that at the time of their getting married, the wife is bargaining that her husband will be around and available to her and to give her time as essentially a function of his career. And therefore, the Mishnah will say, depending what his career is, that will determine how available he has to be to his wife. Now, that would mean that the woman understands what she's bargaining for, and some careers make the husband always around the house, and some send him far away. So that would mean, as the Mishnah will end up resolving stuff later on, that if he started out in a career that kept him close to home, he wouldn't be able to do something that took him further away and made him less available without getting her permission. But here the Mishnah says, so how available does the husband need to be to his wife? So that depends. Says the Mishnah, Hapolim, regular workers, Shabbos Achas. They're a regular worker. That means someone who is normally around. And we'll see later on in the Mishnah, if he's normally around, so he's available like all week. And therefore, we'll see he's expected to at least make himself available to his wife twice a week. But if he's a worker and he's going to go out of town for something, to do something like a business trip, so up to 1 week he'd be allowed to go without getting explicit permission from his wife. There is a bit of a question if we're talking about that, I mean 7 days or 8 days. Okay, but either way, that's like an exceptional business trip as opposed to the rule before getting permission from his wife. But now, what's the benchmark? What's the starting position? What's the basic expectation of the husband? So that depends, like I said before, on his career. The Mishnah says, Ha'on Hamura B'Torah. The Ona, and again, Ona means like a season, repeating something, meaning that the frequency that the Torah demands of the husband. And really, the truth is, there's nothing explicit in the Torah that sets forth, you know, the frequency required of him. The Torah simply, by using the word Ona, is telling us, Onasa, telling us that there's some frequency that's expected of him. And the Torah left it up to the rabbis to define what the Doraisa parameters are in terms of that frequency. That's unusual, but not so unusual. There are other cases in the Torah where, again, the Torah has like a Doraisa requirement, but left it up to the rabbis to define the exact dimensions or extent or definition parameters of that Doraisa. So that's happening here as well. The Torah has a Doraisa demand on him to be available, Ona, from time to time. How frequently is that? First of all, Hatayalin. If someone is a Tayalin, that means just a loafer, a chiller. He's not doing anything, really. There's actually two sheets on what the etymology of Tayalin is, either from the word Tula, meaning shade, like he sits in the shade with his feet up in the hammock all day and, you know, in his house, whatever, chills out there, or like Tiyul, means like to travel around, but the idea is really much of the same, which is he is a man of leisure, and that being the case, B'chol Yom, he has to be available to his wife every single day. That doesn't mean to say that the wife is her prerogative to see if she wants his attention and time. So that means she can say, I'm not interested in you right now. I'd rather watch the TV, get lost, and he can get lost, or better go to the Beis Midrash, whatever the story is. But the point is, if he's a tayal with not any other career, he's expected to be available to his wife every single day, b'chol yom. Hapolim, workers. These are workers who work locally in the city, but they have some kind of career. They're craftsmen. They make something. They work. So that being the case, shtayim b'shabbos, that means twice a week. They have to make the business at least twice a week to be able to their wives. Beyond that, they can be tired and then therefore unavailable. Hachamarim. Hachamarim are donkey drivers. A chamor is a donkey. So a chamar, a donkey driver, so he is typically traveling out of town. And the truth is, even if he is traveling out of town every day, but he sleeps back home every night, even so, achas b'shabbos, the demand on him is just once a week, and the reason why is because being out on the road is exhausting, and that being the case, it's understandable that he's more tired, and therefore less available. Hagamalim, people who are camel drivers. So camels are used for longer distance, you know, trade. It's normal that they'd go for even, like, say, 15 days away from and then 15 days back, so because of that, achas l'shloshim yom, a wife of a camel driver can only really demand and expect that her husband to be available once a month. Achas, excuse me, Achas, hasapanim. Hasapanim, a sapan is a sailor. They've seen someone who is like a merchant who travels by ship far abroad, so those trips are even further. They could be 3 months in each direction, and that being the case, achas l'shisha chadashim, it could be even only 6 months that he's around and available. Div Rabbi Elazar, that's Rabbi Elazar Shita. Now, I told you the Chacham arguing on the Talmid Chachamim. It doesn't explicitly mention the shear for a Talmid Chacham in general, if that's a person's career. The Gemara speaks it out, that indeed it is once a week, and the normal custom of Talmid Chacham would be there from Erev Shabbos, from Leil Shabbos to Leil Shabbos, on Friday night to Friday night. And that's that. But now, in addition to all the things we said here, I should just have to speak out that it's brought down la halacha that there are other times besides for like the periodic, you know, frequency that the Mishnah sets out. So including Leil Tfilasa on the if she's going to be Tovelist in the mikvah, so then he has to be available to her that night. Also, if we're talking about, let's say, any of these people who are traveling at a distance, whether, you know, if it's a Pole who's going out of town on an unusual business trip, or someone on a regular trip that he does regularly as a Gamal or a Hamar. So before the day before he goes, he has to be available to her as well before he goes on the trip. And finally, and this really sort of turns the whole thing on its head, it's brought down the halacha, that anytime he sees that his wife is trying to get his attention and needs attention from him, so then he has to give her attention. So of course, that really turns the whole thing on its head. It starts being sort of this technical number of days, whatever the story is, and instead, you know, really reveals the nature, the sentiment, the spirit of this law, which is if his wife needs attention, whatever that is, he's expected to give it to her to the extent it's reasonable and he can.